Oh, we honor you, Holy Spirit. On that day of Pentecost, when they were gathered in the upper room, on that day, not only were they breathed upon by you, Holy Spirit, oh, but fire fell upon each and every one of them. Fire. And they were transformed, and they were not the same from that point on. They were on fire. They were transformed in their hearts, in their lives, in their spirits to do what man considers impossible. So we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would breathe upon us tonight. Breathe upon us the fire and the wind of God, enabling us, giving those that are just tired and weary a fresh wind, a second wind under their sails to go the distance and fulfill their call and to do that which you have called each and every one of us as a body of believers and individually. It's only through and by you, Holy Ghost, that we'll accomplish this. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do anything apart from you. And we wouldn't want to. So we thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank you. Breathe upon us. Breathe upon those. To strengthen. Be that wind under their sails. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, we've been talking about, I want to continue on the, several weeks ago we started on How's Your Hearing? And last week we talked about God goes where faith puts him. So we're going to continue on that vein along the line of faith. Faith is a subject which you'll never tire of hearing. It's faith is not hard. Faith is simple. It really is. It just, we make it complicated and hard. But faith is not hard because we were given, when we became born again, we were given the measure of faith, each and every one of us, not a measure, the measure of faith. And just a quick couple minute review of last week, because, you know, it's no sense we move on with some new material when you forgot all about last week, or you forgot all about what was said last Sunday, last Wednesday. And I know our spirits can retain and hold so much, but reviews are good. And we said that there are four things that faith does. One of them is that faith hears. Faith comes by hearing. Faith meditates. Meditation turns you into an owner of what God says in His Word. Meditating, pondering, saying over and over again, thinking about the Word. Faith meditates. And then faith acts. Faith without works is dead. But you know, another thing about acting on the Word, and this is key, is you're acting on the Word. When we step out, you know, now these four steps is the protocol, because if you leave that one out, like I said last week, confession isn't just enough, confessing the Word. Again, you have a need. You have a need in your physical body. You have a financial need. Whatever the need is in any area. And then right away, you say, oh, okay, well, I'll go to the Word and get some scriptures. And then we quote those scriptures and throw it at our need, and that's all we do. And we figure, well, I've done my part. Now, God, manifest, bring it to pass. And there's more to it than just confessing the word. Because if you're just, you can polyparrot it over and over and over again, say it every day, 9-10 times. But if that word isn't in your heart, isn't found a landing strip, isn't part of you, then you can confess on and on and on, and you're not going to have no results. But confession is good. Confession is part of it. But faith first comes by hearing, and confession will be joined in by these other steps. Faith hears, faith meditates, faith acts, and then faith praises. But when we hear, then we meditate, and then we will act on the word of God. But you, when you step out and act on the word, it's because you already have faith on the inside of you. You don't act to get faith. Let me give you an example. Some people, and even that we've counseled, not just in the prison but on the outside, people that have drug addictions, cigarette, alcohol, whatever it is, they'll say, "Bless God, I've heard the word, and I'm going to step out in faith." And so they flush their drugs down the toilet, or they throw their cigarettes away. But and that to them is an act of faith. I'm going to step out in faith. But if it's not, faith isn't already formed in their heart. The scriptures, it's just a matter of doing, and then before you know it, they're going to be buying more cigarettes. They're going to be right back into that habit again. In order to act, faith already has to be in your heart. You don't do the action to get faith. I hope that's sinking in. You know, because we don't just randomly go out and do things hoping to get faith from these random acts. But we step out when we have the faith already in our hearts, in our spirits. And then when that happens, then we see the manifestation come speedily, right away. It's right there. So I hope that's a little clear to you. Faith hears, faith meditates, and faith acts. And so tonight I wanted to just throw this out and ask you something. In your Christian walk, in this race that each one of you are in what area would you want to be operating at your very optimum best or improve upon? Where you can even become more skilled and more masterful at. What area is it? Some of you may say, well, I think I can really step it up in my prayer life. I think I can put in more time maybe praying in tongues. You name it. But in your personal walk right now where you're at, what area can you highly improve and become more and more skilled in? And that's what I want to focus on. And I asked myself that today. And my answer is I want to become more and more skilled in the area of faith, my faith. There are a lot of other areas that I could improve upon and put more time in. But faith, exercising your faith to have great faith, because we know that there are different types of faith, and we'll get into that a little later. But Hebrews 10:38 says, "But the just shall live by faith." We don't live by anything else, or we shouldn't be living by anything else but faith. The just shall live by faith, not random, not guessing, not a roll of the dice, but the just, the righteous, we live by faith. Now turn to Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 3. Tonight we're going to be talking about knowing your measure of faith. Knowing your measure of faith. Each one of us had been given the measure of faith. Hebrews Well, actually, Romans 12:3 says this by the Amplified. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So it's saying here, not just to be puffed up with pride, but not to think of yourself more highly and not to go beyond what your measure of faith is, but to think soberly about that, about your measure of faith that God has given each and every one of you. Each one of us all got the same measure. Each and every one. Jaime didn't get an extra dose. He didn't, you know, Carol didn't get piled on an extra pile of faith. But we all were given the same measure of faith when we came to Christ. Now, what you do with that measure of faith is up to you, not to God. Whether and how much you increase it and how much you grow in your measure of faith is totally up to you. Now, in a church setting, everyone here is at a different faith level. Everyone is. And you know, to one, and the Holy Spirit so magnificently deals with and works with each and every one of us according to our measure of faith. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. This is really important. The Holy Spirit will never lead you beyond your measure of faith. He never will lead you beyond your measure of faith. He'll lead you to grow, to stretch your faith, but never beyond your measure. Because when you go beyond your measure, biting off, so to speak, more than you can chew, you'll fail. And the Holy Spirit will never cause us to fail. Never, never, never. He wants us to succeed. He says we're more than in every area of our life. So we each have that. The Holy Spirit will never lead you beyond your measure of faith. Now, in a church setting, you know, regarding, say, for example, for healing, you desire healing, and he may speak to one person and say, go to the doctor, and you know, the doctor may prescribe some medicine. Join your faith, mix your faith with that regarding your healing. And then maybe to another person regarding their healing, he may just say, stand on the word of God, declare the word of God. Why two different methods? Well, they're all towards the same thing, healing, but the Holy Spirit will work with you according to your measure of faith. It's you know, because somebody may be a little bit more advanced, more mature, and so they can receive just from hearing the word and say, I receive that and I take that for myself. And right away, instant manifestation. But for someone whose measure isn't quite developed yet, and it doesn't matter, you know, on your years or your age, because some people develop faster and some don't. Jesus, there are different measures, and we know that measure, you know, your faith can be measured. The word says that faith is a substance. Substances can be measured. They can. Faith is measurable. If I'm baking a cake, And I get all my ingredients together, and I get my flour, and I get my vanilla, and I get my sugar, and I get my baking soda and eggs, and I find out that I don't have any eggs. And so I think, oh, okay, well, I'll just add more sugar, you know, and you leave out the eggs, the finished product is going to be a disaster. You know, it's just going to flop. It's going to fail. And so on the flip side of that, if you can't, with our faith, you can't throw in a substitute for your measure of faith. It won't work. You can't substitute something else for your faith. it just won't work. Mentally ascending, mentally hoping and begging and pleading God, and there's no faith whatsoever in our minds. Faith doesn't originate, never did in our minds, but faith originates, comes from our hearts, our spirits. Yeah. So faith is of the spirit. Now, if you're believing for something big, say you're believing for a home, or you're making a large purchase, and your faith, your measure of faith, isn't quite where it should be for that, there's something that you can use called the prayer of agreement. That is coming into agreement with someone whose measure of faith is more developed than yours. And so you come into agreement with them, and regarding your situation, it's almost just like you're borrowing their faith for your need. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you just have to make sure that if you piggyback with someone like that, that's temporary. It's very temporary until you get your desired results. That person can come into agreement with you, believe for you, and it's like you have that turbo faith applied because you have this person who's just a little bit more developed in that faith area to see you get your need. And that's fine. But the thing is not to get so dependent on that to where you're always looking for someone or you go back to that person. And the Lord wants you to develop your measure of faith by yourself. You have to grow it. You have to increase it. The only way your faith is going to grow is if you use it. If you don't use your faith, if you don't have right now, could I just see who has any faith projects going on right now? Anyone have any faith projects? The majority of you all do. Whether small or big, I believe everybody has something that they're really believing God for. Some are really big, huge. And but yet, if you don't use your faith, it's not going to grow. And it's not going to stretch. Now, the Holy Spirit will never lead us, like I said, beyond your measure of faith, but He'll certainly stretch us. And He'll stretch you to where you're not stressed out, you're not overwhelmed, but you're being stretched, but still believing, and your faith is right on that area that you're believing for, believing for the manifestation of that. So when that happens, you're basically joining your faith with another person's measure for what you're believing for. But we're going to have to increase and accumulate our faith eventually to support what another person helped you receive. And growing your measure of faith is what pleases God. And we all want to please God. Not too many things please Him. But if you ask, what can I give God besides our hearts? What would just bring him pleasure? Well, it's start impressing Him with your faith. Impress Him with your faith. You know, whether it's in your giving, if you're believing God, say you placed a large seed in the ground and you got the return on that, and you have this need that you could apply that, what you receive from Lord. You can either apply it towards your need, whether it's credit card debt, whether it's purchasing something or whatever it is, or there's something else maybe in your heart. The Lord has maybe placed on your heart just someone. For a long time thinking, I would really like to bless that person. I would really like to, you know, maybe they need a car, maybe they, whatever it is. But you have the choice. Whether to, you know, now you may go to God and He may say, I'll leave it up to you. You decide what you want to do with that return that you got on that seed that you planted, that you sowed. And so right there, you can sow it towards your own need or you can bless the other person. Either way, it would be fine with the Lord, either way. But if you really want to impress God, you really want to impress Him with your faith, put the other person, bless that other individual, and put your own need aside, even though you've been believing and you're using your faith for that need that you have, and watch and see what he'll do. Yeah, he'll bless you 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So your measure of faith is what pleases God. God is pleased with our faith because it moves us out of the realm of impossibilities into the realm of possibilities. Yeah, our faith does that. Doesn't it say that we call those things that be not as though they were? That screams faith. That's faith personified. Calling those things into the world, and for people who don't believe and don't understand the word, that just totally twists their thinking, because you know, so many out there in the world, and even some believers, call those things as they see them. And there's no faith involved in saying, calling something as you see it in the natural. But when you speak and call those things that be not as though they already were, that's faith. And that's what we need to improve upon and get more skillful in that area. And it's not so much, again, confessing the word, Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you by your stripes I'm healed, and you sent your word and healed me. But already having that word on the inside of you, and it's built up, and it speaks to you, and it's just become a part of you. It's just in your heart. And so when you have that on the inside by meditating on speaking it, then when you declare and call those things that be not, they'll manifest, they'll come into being, and it won't be a long time. But to get beyond the mental realm, you have to get beyond just mentally ascending to the word. What I mean is get the word in your heart simply by hearing the word more, hearing the word as you're hearing now, meditating on it, pondering, reading, and ask the Holy Spirit, you know, if you get to a scripture and you're stumped, or you just say, I don't understand that. That's what he's there for. He's the teacher. He's the guide. He's the helper. Ask him to bring clarity to it. Say, Holy Ghost, what does this mean? Help me understand that. Do you think he's going to leave you in the dark? You think that he's just going to play hide and seek with you? Of course not. He'll reveal. He'll bring clarity on that thing. He'll bring understanding on that scripture. Give you some other scriptures that will support that scripture, just to help you understand more, and even bring revelation and shine more light on that. So ask him. You have a helper. Now, in the beginning stages, it's good to ask for help. It's good to call on. But again, too, you know, just like when you plant a tomato plant or any type of vegetable plant, sometimes those roots aren't strong enough to stand up on their own. They need a little bit of support. So we put a little stake in the ground, you know, and you'll tie a little thing around around that plant just so it stands up straight, just to make sure that it's planted in the ground there, a little support system. But then after a while, after that tomato plant has already gained some roots and in the ground and it starts growing, you can remove that little stake that you have tied to it because it's strong enough now to stand on its own and grow and produce fruit. So the same is with us. In the beginning, when you're first starting out, learning about the Word of God and learning scriptures and progressing more and being stretched in your faith and growing in that area, you may need a little bit of support from maybe your pastors or somebody who's versed, somebody who's more developed in their faith. But after a while, the Holy Spirit wants you to stand on your own. He wants you to be strong and get results on your own, because children cannot piggyback off of their parents' faith, and you can't piggyback off of our faith, but the Lord wants you strong and wants you to be able to see for for results, whether you're believing for a home, college education, paying off whatever, you know, some bills that you have, whatever it is, to stand strong and exercise your faith. And he'll be there. So we need to lay our faith on faith product projects. That's how we'll grow, even as a church. As a church, we always need to have projects. After we reach, you know, several years ago, we paid this building off. And then since then, we've had many projects. You know, we did this, we accomplished that. So we don't lay and rest back and kick back and just get comfortable and say, phew, I'm glad that's done with. You know, we're going to take a rest for a while. No, we just keep more and more faith projects, you know, because you want to stimulate your faith. You want to grow. You want to stretch. And always have something that you're believing for and not get comfortable because, you know, you can neglect your faith. And even though that measure of faith is in there, you're the one that's going to have to stretch and grow and produce. You're going to have to do that, nobody else. So see where you're at in your measure of faith. We're not to play it safe, but to stay on the cutting edge of what God has asked us as a church and each of us individually. Your victory is waiting for one thing to show up. Your victory and whatever you're believing for, it's waiting for one thing to show up. Guess what that is? Exactly, your faith. Your faith. Victory is right around the corner, but your faith is going to be the one thing that'll propel that. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. So God has given us our faith measurement stick as well. Yins are kind of quiet tonight. Are yins, is this soaking in, or is this, you know, is this maybe elementary to you, or okay, just making sure, because I'm like, oh, they're awfully quiet, you know. Hopefully yins aren't, I know you're not sleeping, but the word is good, but okay, all right, good. Just want to make sure I got my amen corner there, you know, so okay, amen. But God has given us our faith measuring stick, and that is found in Romans 15, verse 13. Let's turn there. We can measure how to measure to know where your measure of faith is, where you're at. Now, we know that there's great faith, and then there's little faith. Remember how Jesus rebuked the disciples and you know, says, oh, you have little faith, you know, when they got into fear and stuff, you know, on the boat. And then there were times when Jesus marveled at people's great faith. The centurion, he marveled at their faith. And different ones who just extended their faith, the woman with the issue of blood. And he just marveled. When he went to his hometown, he also marveled at their unbelief, because he could do nothing there, basically, just maybe heal a few headaches and things. But he couldn't do anything on a larger grand scale because of their unbelief and their doubt and their familiarity with him. Oh, it's just Jesus. You remember Mary and Joseph's son? Yeah, it's just Jesus. So no faith there whatsoever. Now, we at Romans 15, 13, it says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace. Those two components right there, brother and sister, right there, that's your answer. That is how you measure your faith measurement, right there. May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. Joy and peace will always equal your level or your measure of faith. Always. Joy, joy, and peace. How do you know if you're out and beyond your measure of faith? If you've lost your joy, if you've lost your peace on something, if you feel overwhelmed, if you're agitated, if you have anxiety, if you've know that you're feeling, experiencing these things. When you're in your measure of faith, you'll just have that peace about something. God speaks to you and says, I got a house for you. This is the house I want you to move into. And you come into agreement with your spouse, and you have that joy and that peace about it. Now, don't get overwhelmed with maybe the cost of it. If God spoke that to you and for you, just settle down into that peace and that joy, and that will carry you and your faith to see it through the fruition until you see that manifest. Joy and peace. That is always, always, always your umpire. It'll be that, not your excitement levels, because, you know, you can get excited about things, and then after, you know, like you can go out and order a lifted truck with all the bells and whistles and all the things and spend about $50,000 and get all excited, and then when the first payment comes through the mail, then already you're sweating, you know, and then you're having anxiety attacks, and you're just losing, how am I going to make the payments for this thing? You don't first go out and buy these large items and then just say, I got the faith for this, you know, and then you're going to try and strong arm God into trying to produce or do something for you. That won't work. That'll never work. That's not faith. But joy and peace will always be the sign that you're in peace about something, and that will be your umpire always. Now, it's not like the enemy won't try to get you off of your peace and off of your joy, but yet that's just his job. And just rebuke him, you know. And he may even try to get you into guilt and condemnation, telling you, well, you're not quite where the others are in your faith. You're behind. You should be further along. You should be so much further along in your faith. After all, you know, just answer him and say, you ain't further along in nothing. You know, say, you lost everything. Saying, we know where your destination is, you know. And say, and whatever you have, you stole from us, you stole, so basically you're the loser. So don't tell me that I'm falling short, falling behind, you know. And you just shut up and go bother somebody else. But you don't want to step out in your measure of faith either and bite off more than you can chew. Because then, you know, I know one couple were looking for a home. And, you know, here in Hawaii, we know what the costs of homes are. And they were looking at these homes, and the husband seen this home, and him and the wife walked into the house, he says, oh, yeah, this is the place, this is the house. And the wife, you know, knew what the price tag was, and she says, I don't have the faith for this. I don't have the peace about this either, you know. She almost choked on the price, but the husband was like, no, no. He's saying, how many people in the church live in this area, you know, and they have faith and they got their homes. Why can't we? And she was like, I just don't have the peace about this house. And so they looked at some smaller homes where the wife was saying, this is more, not she was going according to what they can afford, but she was going according to her peace level and joy and peace and being led by the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will lead you in these things. And so they found another home, but apparently the husband insisted, so they got the bigger home. And as the years and months went by, those payments started choking them. And it was such a burden on them as a married couple and on their family. Not only did they end up losing the house, but they ended up parting and they ended up divorcing because of the financial pressure of that thing. And that could be just in a lot of areas. So know whatever it is, whether it's a home, a large, you know, a vehicle paying, whatever it is, make sure, wait for the leading of the Holy Ghost and make sure peace and joy are your umpire. They're your leading in these things too, because the Holy Spirit, again, will never lead you beyond what you can believe for. Never. It would be just like me going to a gym after not going to a gym for a long, long time, 40 years or so, and then, you know, I go to the gym and then somebody meets me there and say the instructor there is used to pushing 150 weights. And then I go in there and he wants to start me on 150 weights. And it's like, oh, you're putting me beyond my measure of what I can, no, like start me on maybe 30 pounds, 40, and we'll see how it goes. But I'm not going to, you know, fracture something or end up in a chiropractor or a healing line just because. But, you know, you go according to your measure. And so if I go, you know, trying to say, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and quoting scriptures and things. Well, you know, that's foolishness, you know, to try and get on there. Just because that's his measure, that's what he's capable of doing, and you know, that's not mine. But let me kind of slowly ease into that, maybe 30, 40 pounds, and it's like, oh, okay, maybe I can push a little bit more, you know, 50, 60 pounds. And then eventually, you know, work your way up. But now in the faith realm, don't a lot of people do that? They injure their faith by trying to set their faith on something that their faith can't quite lift. Yeah, we do the same thing. You know, we set our sights and on things that our faith just isn't really, our measure of faith just isn't ready for. We're not able, and yet we say, and you know, quoting scriptures and things, and then it's just going to backfire on us, and we're going to fail in that area. So stay within your measure of faith. That doesn't mean to stay comfortable. Don't misunderstand me to where you can just coast and say, got that done with, paid off all our bills, got all our credit card bills, now we can coast, now we can. No, keep your faith moving, keep your faith stimulated, keep it on things, because that's how it grows. Now, I heard it said that faith isn't a bottomless pit, meaning that you have to replenish your faith. When you spend your faith, what you got to do is grow and increase it again. It's just like when we have an offering, you open up your wallet and you take a couple bills out and you put it in the offering plate. Well, new money just doesn't automatically appear in your wallet just because you've taken it out. You have to replenish it. You have to work. You have to put the money back. Same thing with your faith. When you spend your faith, when you have it on two or three projects, don't add three or four other projects, because you're going to thin yourself, wear yourself out. Stay within your measure of faith. And then, you know, like instead of we're going to pay off all our credit cards, well, stay within your measure of faith, what you're believing for. Pay this one off, get the higher ones first, then the second one, the third one, the fourth one. Or say you get something unexpected in the mail. Say you get a bill for $5,000. Don't know where that came from, but you have to pay it off. They're giving you 30 days, and you start hyperventilating and getting all, you know, just panicking and can't sleep at night. How am I going to pay this bill? Well, use your faith, but and you know, just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. How can we pay this? Well, he may say, can you believe for $500? Can you believe for $1,000 on this? Yeah, that's kind of doable. Okay, then $1,000 times five times, then you'll have the bill paid off. But stay within your means of your faith, because you overextend. That's when we get in trouble, especially in purchasing. or buying things, especially if the Holy Spirit didn't lead you there or speak to you. It's good to want things, homes, cars, all those things, but to stay within your measure. And there are, oh, and then speaking about joy and peace, not your excitement levels, because once, how many times I've known we've even done this, I went out and purchased things, they'd be large items, and then again, too, you get excited, and after the second day, third day, the excitement wears off, because you know now that you bought that because so-and-so had it. I know years ago remember when we had the motorcycle club here at the church, you know, a lot of the guys were going out buying motorcycles. Now, Pastor Herman didn't go out and buy a motorcycle, not because he didn't want one, but we just felt, you know, he just felt, no, you know, it wasn't like, well, no, it's not for me, but staying within your measure of faith. And some went out, even not from this fellowship, but from other fellowships, went out and bought these brand new Harleys, and, you know, I'm just going to believe God. God's going to bring it. You know, I want to join the club. You know, I want to ride with my brothers. And then within a month or two, you know, when it comes to making the payment, the installments, it's like, can't do it. You know, that was just like a toy. And the excitement wears off fast, especially when you have to make the payments. So stay and make sure, and then of course your joy and your peace goes out the window. But why did God leave joy and peace as our measuring stick for our faith? He did that because those are the only two things that the enemy cannot duplicate. Or, you know, he's a great counterfeiter, right? He can counterfeit. He can come as an angel of light. He can speak to you. He can come in a dream. He can come in a vision. But the one thing the enemy cannot duplicate or give you is peace and joy. Why? Because he ain't got none to give. He ain't got no peace. He's a tormented being. He ain't got no joy. No, ain't got no joy. He's a miserable, wretched being who knows that his time is short. So I love just how God just set these things up in the Word for us. He says that you'll be led by peace. In Isaiah, what it says, that you'll be led forth in peace and joy. That shall go out in those two components. Joy and peace. And there's nothing like it. Nothing like it when the Lord deposits that. And we are to remain in those two flows of joy and peace. But there are enemies to your faith, and nothing new. But there's four things, and there may be more that you may know of. But know and recognize them. The enemies to your faith, number one is fear. Number two is doubt. Number three is wrong thinking or an unrenewed or carnal mind. Remember, there's no faith in our minds. So calculating, staying up at night, racking your brains, there's no faith in that. That's just going to produce more worry. Peace and joy go out the window when you do that. Stay in peace and joy, because that shows that the enemy's working on you, working on your mind. So wrong thinking and a carnal mind. And then the fourth thing as an enemy to your faith is your feelings, how you feel. That can move you a lot too. One day you're all gung-ho, and the next day, you know, I don't even know if I have the faith for that. Now, stick with your measure of faith, but again, not in a comfortable level, but always stretching, always increasing it, because there's such a thing as great faith. Remember, one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of faith. That's that supernatural faith that just goes beyond that normal measure of faith that we've all been given when we got saved. Amen. So don't go beyond your measure of faith. Amen. Amen. And there's a lot of other things that we can touch on. But again, I just want to remind, ask you what I asked you in the beginning. What area in your walk could you improve on? Or you just see yourself as, I just got to put in more time. I want to become more skillful in this. Well, let's start on our faith. How about let's just start on our faith, on our measure of faith. Let's grow that and stretch a little bit. And again, stay within your means, but don't stay comfortable, though. And we'll be led forth in peace and joy. And we can all do that. And not only that, but we'll please the Father, and you can impress Jesus. Wouldn't you just love when you get to heaven and say, she's a great faith believer. I'm just so impressed with her faith. And faith that impresses God. Yeah. And so we can all just lean, attaining that, stretching our faith, extending it, and not getting beyond, getting into the mental realm or into just the logistics and you know, polyparroting some things, you know, especially even the word. But follow those faith steps. Faith hears, faith comes by hearing, faith meditates, and then faith acts. And again, you step out and do the actions. You act when the first two components, the first two steps already are in your heart. You've already established that. Don't step out and then think, well, by doing this, I'll get more faith. No, you should already have the faith built up in you already. I have faith for this, so therefore, I'm going to step out. We'll step out and we'll sign the deed. We'll purchase this house. We'll pay this off. We'll do that. And it'll manifest. You'll have your results. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope many of you got some answers, or this just kind of stirred you up to improve on your faith. Well, you bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, Lord, that we have the greatest teacher, the greatest role model for our faith, and that's Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are ever our greatest role model in our endeavoring to step out in our faith, in our measure of faith, to be more than we could be, to believe more. And Father, and then when we believe more and see the manifestation, Lord, this will just excite us, and that it'll just prompt us to do more, to believe more. And then we'll stretch and we'll grow and we'll grow and we'll stretch more with our faith, to have great faith. Because, Lord, you says that in the last days, Father, when you return, will you see faith? Will you find faith? And Lord, that's a scary thing, Father, for your church not to have faith. So, Father, we concentrate on this one area, Father, to do more, to believe more, and just to follow these simple steps of our faith and increasing our very measure of it, Lord, which we know that will please you immensely. So, Father, I thank you, Father, for this congregation, for this people, that they have ears to hear, and that, Lord, that they will be doers of the word and act on it, not because they're trying to get more faith, but because faith has already resonated on the inside in their hearts, and therefore they can step out and do and know they'll get the results that they desire, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for those things that we do not have, but we're believing for. Father, reaching with the arm of faith into the supernatural, bringing the impossible, that which seems impossible to our minds, impossible to our situations, making it possible, Father. So we call those things that be not as though they were, Lord, and we'll grow and we'll grow and we'll grow more. Father, extending and reaching with our arms of faith. We thank you, Father, for the word tonight, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen, amen. Well, I wanted to again.